This morning we're going to be looking at 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 through 4. But I do want to bring in another scripture passage. It's not listed here in the bulletin to start off with from the Old Testament. I'd like to turn to Ezekiel 34. I'd like to start off with Ezekiel, then move on to 1 Peter. And I'll be just reading some portions from Ezekiel 34, starting with the first verse. Ezekiel 34, verse 1. The word of the Lord came to me, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Woe to the shepherds of Israel who take care of themselves. Should not shepherds take care of the flock? You eat the curds, clothe yourselves with wool, and slaughter the choice animals, but you do not care for the flock. You have not strengthened the weak, or healed the sick, or bound up the injured. You have not brought back the strays, or searched for the lost. You have ruled them harshly and brutally. So they were scattered because there was no shepherd. And when they were scattered, they became food for all the wild animals. I would like to pick up in verse 11. For this is what the sovereign Lord says. I myself will search for my sheep and look after them, as a shepherd looks after his scattered flock when he is with them, so I will look after my sheep. I will rescue them from all the places where they were scattered on a day of clouds and darkness. I will bring them out from the nations and gather them from the countries, and I will bring them into their own land. I will pasture them on the mountains of Israel, in the ravines and in all the settlements in the land. I will tend them in a good pasture, and the mountain heights of Israel will be their grazing land. There they will lie down in a good grazing land, and there they will feed in a rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. I myself will tend my sheep and have them lie down, declares the sovereign Lord. I will search for the lost and bring back the strays. I will bind up the injured and strengthen the weak. But the sleek and the strong I will destroy. I will shepherd the flock with justice. And then dropping down to verse 20. Therefore, this is what the sovereign Lord says to them. See, I myself will judge between the fat sheep and the lean sheep. Because you shove with flank and shoulder, but butting all the weak sheep with your horns until you have driven them away, I will save my flock, and they will no longer be plundered. I will judge between one sheep and another. I will place over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he will tend them. He will tend them and be their shepherd. I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David will be prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken. I'm going to come over to the New Testament now, and you'll see the connections that are going to be made. I'd like to start in chapter 4, verse 17. 1 Peter 4 and verse 17, read on to chapter 5. For it is time for judgment to begin with the family of God. And if it begins with us, what will the outcome be for those who do not obey the gospel of God? And if it is hard for the righteous to be saved, what will become of the ungodly and the sinner? So then, those who suffer according to God's will should commit themselves to their faithful Creator and continue to do good. To the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder, a witness of Christ's suffering, and one who also will share in the glory to be revealed. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, serving as overseers, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be, not greedy for money, but eager to serve. Not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. Thus ends the reading of God's Word, and let's ask the blessing upon the preaching of His Word. Heavenly Father, we pray that You would be with us now, that You would comfort Your people, that You might be exalted. But we pray for You, Holy Spirit, that You would be with us, that You would guide and direct us into Your Word, that we might know it. But Father, we also pray that You would lead us into paths of righteousness. Help us to become Your faithful and obedient servants. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you've read Peter's letter before, you know that these people were suffering many trials. These are people in Asia Minor that were experiencing great difficulties. In fact, Peter says that they were experiencing fiery trials. Trials of many kinds. And so it's interesting who he appeals to first. He appeals, as he wraps up his letter, to the elders, as he gives general exhortation. There's many things that we can learn from this. But he emphasizes the importance of church leaders because he addresses them first. You see, leaders are an important part of every group. They are an important part of the vitality of any organization. I learned this while I was in high school. When I played football in Saddlebrook, I learned very quickly that we weren't a very good team when I moved there. In fact, we were in a state of decline for about a decade. They hadn't won a game in 2 years when I showed up. One of the reasons for this decline was a lack of leadership among the men on the team. There weren't too many captains who had a victorious attitude. In fact, many of them had a defeatist attitude. They figured things would continue to go on as they had been for years. Now, like I said, that's only one of the problems that I've seen with the program. But because of this lack of leadership among the players, the team started to dwindle more and more every year. My freshman year, we started off with like 20 guys, and by my senior year, we only had 5 seniors left. The year before my senior year, we were supposed to have a good team, because there were about 10 guys. That was a terrible year as well. After a few losses, just went the way it's been going. But it was finally during my senior year that we started to turn things around. And one of the important things that happened was the 5 of us got together and we said, look, we got to change things around. We just got to persevere. Things might be difficult because we don't have that many people coming back, but we're just going to keep on pushing ahead. We're going to keep on doing what we need to do in practice. We're going to play hard and we'll probably see some results. And sure enough, we started off 0-2 my senior year. But you know what? That didn't get us down. We sat there, practiced hard, and sure enough, we turned the program around that year. You might not say 5-5 is a good record, but it was the best record in a decade. After I left, they actually made the playoffs. But I was happy to be at least part of that team to help to start off a winning tradition. And I'm not going to say that it was all because of us. We had some good coaches, too, that year. But you know what? We just kept on plodding ahead. We kept on leading by example. Things got difficult, but we never started to blame one another. When that happens, people start to scatter. And we see that in Scripture. When leaders go awry, people just flounder. And so Peter wants to emphasize the importance of church leadership as he wraps up his letter. And the point we want to consider this morning from this letter is that Jesus Christ shepherds and cares for you through the elders. The point that we want to consider is Jesus Christ shepherds and cares for you through the elders. In order to see this point arise from the text, the first thing we want to see or consider is that the chief shepherd cares for you through the under shepherds. Let's take a look back in our text here. starting in verse 1, chapter 5. To the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder, a witness of Christ's suffering, and one who also will share in the glory to be revealed. And then down in verse 4. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. And so we've read and seen some of the imagery of this idea of the shepherd and the flock in the Old Testament. We've looked at one specific passage in particular, Ezekiel 34. But I'm sure you can think of other places where you see this imagery in the Old Testament, can't you? We didn't sing any of the Psalms yet, but I'm sure your mind might flock towards certain Psalms. Think about Psalm 100 for a moment. We enter His gates with thanksgiving and praise. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. You also might think of Isaiah 53, where the people are seen as sheep going astray. But we also see imagery of the shepherd, don't we? What about the famous Psalm, Psalm 23? The Lord is my shepherd, the want will have I. And so we see this imagery of the shepherd. But we can also think about some prominent characters, can't we, who were shepherds in the Old Testament. Do you remember Moses? Before he led the Israelites out of Egypt, what was he doing? He was shepherding his father-in-law's flock. And then God calls him to himself and he says, Moses, Moses. And here comes Moses, and God calls him right there upon holy ground at that burning bush to commission him to be the shepherd over his people, to lead them out of bondage and slavery in Egypt in order to fulfill his promise to Abraham that he would make of himself a great nation through the descendants of Abraham. But also you can think of King David. What was David doing when Samuel came to look for the new king of Israel? He was shepherding the sheep. He was tending the flock. In fact, if you look at Samuel, it says that while Saul was king, David was winning the battles in these campaigns. And it goes on to say in 2 Samuel 5 that you will be a shepherd over my people and you will become their leader. David was a shepherd. Also, throughout the Old Testament, you see the leaders being called shepherds. Sometimes these people were false shepherds, weren't they? You think even some of the kings, how we have the northern king Rehoboam causing these people to go into idolatry as he set up two idols at Dan and Bethel. But what were all these characters and scriptures pointing to? We read about it, the shepherd in Ezekiel 34. These promises, these characters were all pushing forward. They were all pointing to the divine shepherd as we read in Ezekiel. Now we know clearly who this divine shepherd is. It's Jesus himself. In Ezekiel it says that David will be my shepherd. He will be my prince, and I will make a covenant of peace with them. But David was dead when Ezekiel wrote this prophecy. See, David pictured the divine shepherd who would be the king, who would care for those who were broken, who would care for those who were scattered. Listen to Jesus' own words in John chapter 10. I am the good shepherd. Don't miss those words. I am the good shepherd. Those are the words that God spoke to Moses. I am. In the Greek, it's ego eimi. There's the divine name connected with the shepherd. You see, the shepherd arrived, didn't he? He came. And he came to gather his sheep. To gather not only the Israelites, but those from another fold. People like you and me. And we see that this is confirmed throughout the New Testament. Think of what the writer of Hebrews has to say concerning the divine shepherd. May the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant Bring back from the dead the great shepherd of the sheep. That great there benediction that we hear. Well, if Jesus Christ is the divine shepherd, and he has risen again from the dead and testified to us that he is that very one, how does he then care for you and for me? How does he care for us if he's in heaven? Well, Peter tells us very clearly right in the first verse, doesn't he? To the elders among you. And Paul clearly tells us in Ephesians 4 that Jesus Christ ascended on high. He led captivity captive. And he gave gifts to men. What were those gifts? Do you remember what those gifts were? In Ephesians chapter 4. Do you remember what he gave to his church? What did he give them? When he ascended on high, he gave to the church some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors or shepherds and teachers. For this very purpose, to prepare God's people for the works of service. That is how Jesus Christ, the divine shepherd, cares for you and for me. He cares for us through the leaders that he himself has called, that he himself has commissioned to lead his people, to care for them. And we're going to learn more about that care in a little bit. And so we've seen that Jesus Christ cares for you through his under-shepherds. But secondly, we want to consider that Christ calls his elders to serve in humility over the sheep. Let's look back at our text here. To the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder, a witness of Christ's suffering, and one who also will share in the glory to be revealed. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, serving as overseers. Did you notice how the Apostle Peter addresses these people? Does he appeal to the elders in his apostolic authority? No, he doesn't. He doesn't do that at all. He appeals to them in a humble manner. He appeals to the solidarity and the responsibility in leading and caring for the sheep. You see, Peter identifies with them as a fellow elder. He comes alongside of them. He does this in a humble manner to show them that their work is important. He does it to show that he understands the difficulties that they are undergoing. He shows them the spirit that he wants them to have as they care for the sheep. He wants them to have a humble disposition. You see, he doesn't diminish his apostolic authority by calling himself a fellow elder. He demonstrates the character that he wants them to have. For sure, he could have told them their responsibilities by claiming he was apostle. But he doesn't do that. You see, Peter knew the difficulties that these men were undergoing in leading these sheep. Remember, they were going through fiery trials, difficult times. And Peter himself says he understands this. Look at verse 1. To the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder, a witness of Christ's sufferings. He says he understands the difficulties. If you look back at Peter's own life, you know the difficulties that this guy had undergone. He was with the Lord during his earthly ministry. He comes to Gethsemane. And what happens? He comes to see Jesus on trial in the courtyard of the high priest. And he denies Jesus Christ 3 times during the course of these events. This is the one who was bold, saying, Lord, I will not depart from you. I won't leave you. Here he is. Peter knows what it is to suffer temptation. Peter knows when the pressure and the fire is hot, what it is to cave in to the difficulties that are there. He knew this. And that's why he comes alongside them in this humble manner, to sympathize with them, to come alongside them, to comfort them, and to instruct them how they are to lead God's people. But thank God that Peter didn't remain a denier, did he? He did not. You see, Peter was humbled low by the mercy and the grace of God. In fact, after he was reinstated, he suffered for the name of Christ and he considered it pure joy to suffer for his name. But Peter not only knew what it's like to suffer for the sake of Christ, he also knew the glory that awaits God's people. Look back at our text. Back at verse 1 here. A witness of Christ's suffering and one who will also share in the glory to be revealed. You see, Peter knew about the glory that awaited the people of God. Do you remember his own experience in Jesus' earthly ministry when he went up with James and John upon the mount after they had come to Caesarea Philippi? After 6 days, they go up there and they see the transfigured Christ. They see Christ in his majesty and glory with Elijah and Moses. Remember, they were shocked at that point. They didn't know what to do because they saw the glorified Christ. He caught a glimpse of the Great One in His glory and splendor. You see, he knew the glory that awaited. And I ask you, brothers and sisters, do you know this glory? Do you have this glory set in your hearts? Have you received the Spirit of glory who has come to give us comfort during this time as we sojourn through this life? Do you know the Holy Spirit who comes to be our down payment to secure for us that glory that is to come? Have you entered into that new day that the Holy Spirit has wrought in our hearts because Jesus Christ is there? If He is there, we are there because His Spirit dwells in us. And so, Peter holds out this hope not only to the elders, but to you. And so we've seen that Christ calls His elders to serve humbly over the sheep with an eye towards glory. But Christ also calls, thirdly, His elders to serve by shepherding and overseeing the sheep. Let's look back at our text here. Verse 2. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, serving as overseers, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be. It's interesting how Peter tells them to shepherd God's flock. And you'll realize why this is interesting when you think about what Jesus had told him after he rose again from the dead and came by the Lake of Galilee there. Let's take a look at this account in particular. I want to focus on this just for a few moments. Let's look at John's Gospel where this is recorded for us. John chapter 21. John chapter 21, and we're going to start there in verse 15. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these? Yes, Lord, he said, you know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my sheep. Again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me? He answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said, take care of my sheep. The third time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my sheep. I will tell you the truth. When you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. Did you catch what Jesus had said when he reinstated Peter. Feed my sheep. What does Peter say as he's closing out his earthly ministry to these people in Asia Minor? Feed my sheep. Shepherd my sheep. Do you see the connection there? The connection that we see here is Peter saying the same words that Christ had said to him. Here is impetuous Peter, humbly appealing to these men to oversee and feed these sheep. And so Peter speaks these words not only to the churches in Asia Minor, but he says it to the elders of this congregation. To feed Christ's sheep. But what is this work of shepherding and feeding the sheep all about? Let's take a look back at chapter 5 once again. Starting in verse 1. To the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder. Catch this. It's not one man who's doing the job, is it? There's one person over the sheep, and that person is Jesus Christ. But he appoints a plurality of elders to carry on this work of shepherding the sheep. You don't have a bishop over you. You have a plurality of elders who have demonstrated the characteristics that are laid down in Scripture. And they take this office not lightly but seriously because they must give an account to Jesus Christ in feeding the sheep. See, this is what they're called to do. This is what you have. Jesus Christ ordains that a plurality of elders oversee the sheep. And this is in accord with the rest of Scripture. Think about Solomon. In a multitude of counselors, there's wisdom. In a plurality of elders, there is wisdom. That's consistent with Scripture. Granted, some elders are not as able to teach as others. Every elder is to be able to teach. But there are some elders that are fit more for ruling than teaching. Remember what the Apostle Paul says. Those who serve in the house of God are to be honored, but especially those who labor in teaching. And so there's a distinction in function. But each of the elders are there to oversee you, to guide you in what it means to be a part of the kingdom of God. Brothers and sisters, do you realize the kingdom that you are a part of? When you confess that Jesus Christ is your Lord, He's not Lord over part of your life. He's Lord over all of your life. Every single aspect must come under the rule and reign of Jesus Christ. And the elders are to give you that whole counsel of God that you might be Jesus' disciples, that you might know what it means to walk in His way, to be part of that kingdom of light where there is no darkness at all. That's what they are to do. And they are to do this not only in teaching you and instructing you, but they are to do this by example. Look back at our text here. Notice what Peter says. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, serving as overseers, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be. Not greedy for money, but eager to serve. Not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. You see, it's not always what you say, but it's what you do, isn't it? Actions speak louder than words. And this is important that the shepherds are one who lead by example. Think of the Lord Jesus Christ and what He said and what is recorded for us in the Gospel of John. He calls His sheep by their name and they follow Him. He is out before His sheep. They are the ones who should be leading, like Jesus Christ, in all godliness, leading the people in the way that they are to go, that they might not go aside to the left or to the right, but follow after the shepherds as they follow after Christ, as the Apostle Paul said. And one of the illustrations I think about in this work of shepherding is one that a dear professor told me at seminary. If you want to be a shepherd, you cannot be a cowboy. I'm not from the Midwest like this guy's from, but I understood the illustration. He says,
A cowboy is one who goes behind the cattle and they drive the cattle. They're ones who are running roughshod over the cattle.
But to be a shepherd, you can't be driving cattle. You've got to be out before them.
That's the difference. A shepherd is to have
that loving kindness. The one who seeks and cares for your very soul because he's accountable to Christ for you and wants to care for you. That's what it means to be a shepherd. And so that's very important. But also we see that they are to be overseers. Look back at our text. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, serving as overseers. When you take a look at this word in the Greek, it has the sense of guardian. One who guards and protects the sheep. This is what Peter is driving at. And the Apostle Paul tells those who he labored among for 2 years in Ephesus what they're to do in protecting his people. He says, you're to watch over your own self first to make sure you're right, and then to guard those who God has redeemed through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. You are to guard and protect them. The Apostle Paul knew about guarding and protecting, didn't he? Think about just his letter to the Galatians. What was happening there? Here comes the Apostle Paul. He sets up this church and there's people creeping in. They're seeping through the cracks and they're spreading heresy that is leading the people away from the God of grace because they're giving up the gospel of grace. And he calls them back and says, whoa, wait a second. Who's teaching you another gospel than I proclaim to you? Don't listen to them. Let them be accursed if they teach any other gospel. And so Paul dealt severely with them because they were teetering on the edge. They were about ready to leap off the cliff and go into the abyss. You see, the elders are to care for your soul. They are to guard you. In order to do this type of overseeing, the shepherd must be among you. Look back at our text, verse 1. To the elders among you. It's not that they're necessarily hiding out in some little place. They're to be among you. They're to be with you. And sometimes this means that they must visit you. When they come to visit, they're not trying to play the role of an FBI agent. They're there to care for you. They're there to find out your wants and your needs. Care to see how you're doing in the Christian life. And I think of one session in particular that's carried this out beautifully. When I did an internship out in Oklahoma at the Stillwater Reformed Presbyterian Church. And it was their goal as a session to meet with every member and family once a year. And they were on track to do it. In fact, I went to a couple of visits with them. It's not that they were asking these people profound questions. They weren't trying to inspect their lives to find out what kind of sins they're necessarily committing so they can have dirt on them. They were just asking them basic questions, and these people were very open and candid with the leaders. And it was wonderful because these men would instruct them in such great ways. And then they would go back on Thursdays and pray for the needs of the people together. They would gather Thursday mornings and they would pray over the work that God had given them to do, praying for those who are struggling, praying for the young ones who might be having some troubles. And they thought of ways they could step in and give a lending hand. And so we see that not only are they overseers, they're to lead by example to teach, but the elders want to recognize that the flock is not his own. Look back at our text here. Look back here. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, serving as overseers, not because you must, but because you're willing as God wants you to be. Not greedy for money, but eager to serve. Not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And here it is. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. Notice who the chief shepherd is. Notice who is in charge of all. It is Christ, the chief shepherd. He is the one who spilt his own blood to redeem the people that the elders have to give an account for. Jesus Christ is the one who's turned away the wrath of God as your substitute. See, the elders must recognize that Christ Christ has given them the authority over them. But they also must recognize that they are part of the sheep, that they are one in the fold with them. And they must give an account. I remember my mom telling me when I was a kid, when you ever receive something from somebody, you better either give it back to them in the same way that you received it, or even better than when you received it. I think this fits along well with what Peter's saying here to the elders. Care for the sheep. These are ones I have purchased with my own blood. They are the apple of my eye. Take care of them. Build them up. Because you need to give an account for not only yourself, but for these people that are under you. This is a great task. This is a hard task, as we have an enemy that seeks to devour not only normal laymen, but elders themselves. How many times have you seen in the news a pastor being posted up there because he has sinned in a grievous way and it's become publicly known? Pray for your elders. Pray for them in this work. It's a difficult work. But I say to you, brothers and sisters, have you entered into the sheepfold? Have you come to know this chief shepherd and have been under the care of men who love you and give account for your soul? Jesus put it this way. Listen to what Jesus has to say. Therefore, Jesus said again, I tell you the truth. I am the gate for the sheep. All who ever come before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. Notice what Jesus said. He is the gate to the fold. Have you entered into that gate? Have you come to have that rest from your sin? My friends, there's no other way to enter in. There's no other way. Jesus Christ is the way. He is the gatekeeper. He is the shepherd through whom you find solace for your soul. So I say to you again, as we started off, that Jesus Christ shepherds and cares for you through your elders. Jesus shepherds and cares for you through your elders.